Osaka. This is one of those 360 degree camera deals where you can pan the camera around with your mouse and go look at, this is one of the coolest places in Osaka. It's called the Dotonbori. I believe I'm probably butchering that pronunciation. It's Japan's real home of street food. There is amazing street food here. Of course, obviously not right now. It is 8 a.m. on a Tuesday, I think. I'm not exactly sure what day this is. We're pretty deep into our China and Japan tour. I was here last year, actually filmed from about a couple of blocks behind me out on the river, but it's this beautiful, everything that you're going to see around here is absolutely jam-packed with people whenever it's dark. I thought I was going to film here during the dark, but I learned really quickly. I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to do that without people continuously coming in and like hugging me and stuff like that. So yeah, no, maybe we'll publish the outtakes of that someday. So let's go through your top voted questions from PollGab. The top voted question is from Elwood, who says, what's your take on setting a user's default database when you're creating a new login? Most people that I know won't do it, but for the ones who do do it, if you care enough to do it, I personally like setting it to TempDB, because I have just seen so many people create objects, do deployments, try to run a script automatically, and I would much rather have their garbage get created in TempDB rather than in any other database. Plus, that way, if they decide they want to create a table when they're just learning and playing around, it's much less harmful to everybody else. Next up, retired DBA says, that is retired DBA, says, what do you tell a client who's asking you to solve an issue but objects to the use of any and all diagnostic tools, worrying that they're going to negatively impact the system? So this is a great question, and there are a few different nuanced answers to this. This is probably going to be on the longer side of answers. First off, it depends on how desperate the emergency is. If it's not that desperate, almost everything you want to get out of SQL Server can be gotten after hours, like during low load periods. Index usage, DMVs, wait stats since the server started up, SP Blitz, all kinds of stuff like that. So I'll tell people, we're going to gather data during a low load period. You tell me when it is. I really, truly don't care. We can do it on a Saturday night, whatever it is. And most of the time, I can get the stuff that I need through those. Ideally, the plan cache is there, but that, you know, depending on what the load looks like and what the server's kind of performance emergency is. If I can't get that, and if it's something that I have to watch live while the emergency's happening, I've told clients, because of my position of where my career is at, I'm able to say I've used tools like this on servers around the world in much worse shape than yours is. However, if you don't have that luxury, if you haven't been doing this that long, if you're just getting started, one way that may help is to show them the first responder kit, show them my videos, say, this is what Brent Ozar uses. If you're not comfortable doing that, this is a working street, so there's going to be beeping and noise, which is kind of funny. If you're not comfortable doing that, if you don't want to tell them about me, which that's fine, that's fair, it's totally okay. The one thing that I have said with clients is, if you want me to work blindfolded, like I can't copy paste any things into the system, let's not try to look at the system first. You show me what's slow. You run a query. You give me a query. Let's look at it in development and see what's slow about that. And I do that in sales calls too. When somebody tries to hire me, I say, okay, tell me what the user complaints sound like. When a user complains, what are they saying? And it's never just it's slow. It's when I try to add a customer, when customers try to check out on the website, when we try to update the nightly report tables, then I say, okay, what does slow mean? Is it 3 seconds? Is it 30 seconds? Is it times out after a minute? You know, what does that look like? And we should be able to reproduce that in development, so that way you can work from a query perspective instead of working from the server perspective. So hopefully that helps. Next up, my friend asks, says, I recently got hired as a database developer, or a SQL developer, rather, they say, which is a shift from being a .NET or web developer. What action points do you think I should focus and brush up on? The one kind of Bible in our business is Itzhak Ben Gan's two books, T-SQL Querying and T-SQL Fundamentals. If you're learning how to write T-SQL in a fast way, because that's really what SQL developers are doing, get Itzhak's two books, T-SQL Querying and T-SQL Fundamentals. Itzhak is spelled I-T-Z-I-K, so if really you search for Itzhak on Amazon, you'll get those really quickly. Next up, TalkTick asks, in my top 10 weight types for the output of SP Blitz first, the VDI client other weight type appears at the top. I couldn't find much information online. Can I skip this weight and move on to the next? What you want to do in SP Blitz first is scroll over towards the right, and there's going to be a column called URL, which I jokingly say stands for You Read Loser. Go copy-paste that into your web browser, and there is a link for every single weight type. Those links go over to Paul Randall's excellent weight stats library, where he has technical details on what causes the weight and under which situations it's ignorable versus which situations you want to pay attention. And I know that one's in there because I've directed people to it in the past. Let's see. Next up, Elwood asks, is batch requests a second or transactions per second a better metric for monitoring SQL Server? Batch requests a second is, because not every query is inside a transaction. There are like system queries you can run that are not, for example. Oh, EJ asks, do you think blogging as a medium is on its last legs? EJ, you're certainly not the first person to have said that or heard that. I do not think so. So sometimes people will say it's on its last legs because it's easy for people to generate text with AI these days. I do it all the time myself. I use AI every single day as part of my work. But that doesn't necessarily mean that blogging is dead, because with blogging, often people are interested in your answer, assuming you're the blogger, are interested in your advice, are interested in the stories that you tell. It's more about the personality and less about how do I get the syntax for a merge statement. So the bloggers who used to write purely like, what's the syntax for backup? What's the syntax for the merge statement? Those bloggers are seeing a decimating drop in traffic, but the ones who are more personality driven, like I'm going to, and also who work with new features and edge cases. So like, for example, you can't use AI to generate stuff about SQL Server 2025 T-SQL changes or implementation details until it pops out and does a web search, and then it's just rephrasing what's on the web search. But if you go through and do real world stuff like that, then it's certainly not dead. Statistically, for my own blog, my traffic is actually even with the last like 3 years. It hasn't gone down at all, which I thought it kind of would go down. The other thing that you want to think about is, what are you blogging for? If you're blogging to be used as a resume, there's a truck going by. If you're blogging to be used as your resume to like show what you were doing at different points in time, absolutely it is not gone. It's just as strong as it ever was. And then finally, there's video. Like you and I are sitting here discussing this over video, right? Another thing is that there is a generation or a segment of the population that prefers to learn via video instead of learning via text. Not everybody's in that. For example, as funny as it is, given that I do a ton of video content, I hate consuming education through video. It's too slow. It takes too long. I want to be able to jump directly to specific portions and just read the parts that are relevant. So for people like me, blogging is still a really big deal. I like watching video as entertainment and like a personalities, but not at all watching for educational purposes. FR asks, hi Brent, who should own CDC, like change data capture, in an organization? Should DBAs or BI teams own it? I don't think that there's a right answer here when we talk about who should do some work. All I care about is that the people who are going to answer the support calls when it's broken, the people who are going to actually fix it, the people who are going to be on call for it, they should own it exclusively. So when something's built in T-SQL, that can be kind of confusing because sometimes people will say, I want a DBA to manage that because it's inside the database. But if I can't control the code, if I don't have any authority to fix what's broken in the code, then no, I shouldn't be owning whatever that is. And if it's something like CDC, where perhaps the BI team controls when refreshes need to happen because something's broken in the target database, when every time there's new tables added, that the BI team is, if they're the ones who pick and choose which tables to move over, then that would be the team that should own it. If it's just a matter of every table should go every time and there's no logic or filtering to it, then you could just have the DBAs own it. But whoever makes that authoritative call, they're the ones I would trust. All right, we'll stop there. The next time that you see me, I will be in Kyoto. Kyoto's the next stop on our tour. Lovely city. It's about an hour from here by car. We really enjoy that trip too as well. But we are going to, what are we doing today? More shopping, because this is just a really fun place to go shopping for stuff. And more street food. Oh my God. Yesterday, I started the day with a bowl of ramen, like 7 a.m. Eve got up. We went out, there was a restaurant where you fish your own food, like you use a rod. And they're giant pools of or tanks of fish in the restaurant. You fish, and whatever fish you catch, that's the one they cook, and they tell you get to choose how you're going to cook it. Did that. Then we ate a couple of little street food things, takoyaki, something else. Had another bowl of ramen. Went to a bar that does parfaits, like dessert parfaits. Had a parfait, went and had another bowl of ramen. I mean, oh my God, we have eaten so much here. We are gaining weight like nobody's business. So that sounds like a good plan for again today. So thanks everybody for hanging out, and I will see y'all on the next Office Hours. Adios.